Well, you've done pretty good to sit through so much, and it's a lot to take in, and I trust that you're starting to see the issues of the inner man that need working on and transformation. Will come probably tonight. I'll do one on specific bondages of the heart, some specific issues that are very easy to identify with and to say, oh wow, okay, I need to be free of that. And these are the ones that come up so common in counseling that I have to deal with them all the time. And so this session, to this one here, this session I want to do, I haven't done it before. I just wrote this again. I wrote it recently because I started to be aware when you're trying to engage with God and stay in the flow of the Spirit, you become and you start to present yourself to Him. You develop awareness and sensitivity to what's happening inside you, what's happening around you, and also to thoughts that you have. And I began to aware that my mind was being invaded with unwelcome thoughts. And I thought, and they were very nasty type of thoughts. And I thought, well, I haven't done any of that stuff. Why would those thoughts be invading me? And then I began to understand, and the Lord began to teach me about iniquity. And He showed me how to pray to address iniquity. And so as I've done that, I felt the thoughts just vanished. They literally vanished. Having been on and off for a season, quite a long time, then they just vanished. And I realized, well, this is something I hadn't thought. That's a new thing to learn, isn't it? Eh? So I better put something together on to help you understand it. Because when you're wanting to walk in the Spirit and stay in the Spirit, then we need to understand the things that hinder us and not be condemned by them, but just know what to do about them. Okay? Okay then. So the first question goes, what is iniquity? We understand sin, but the Bible talks about sins, transgressions, and iniquities. And it says that Jesus died for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. He died for our transgressions. They must all be different things. But if you ask believers to say what is the difference, they will have a difficulty. And if we don't understand, then chances are these things affect us because we don't understand them. So let me help you get an insight to iniquity. Okay, in Ezekiel 18, verse 30, God is speaking to His own people. He said, therefore, I'll judge you, house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. Repent and turn from all your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Isn't that interesting? He said, iniquity will not be your ruin. So iniquity is what ruins people. We think it's the sins that we commit. Sin tends to, the meaning of the word sin mostly means to fall short of what God expected. The word transgression means to intentionally break the law. And so that's different. Well, what is iniquity? So the word iniquity is the word avon. How about that? Avon. There you go, the girls. Hey, hey. You mean dipping into the Avon. So the word in the Hebrew language means it means perversion or crookedness, to be crooked or bent. How about that? It means evil. It comes from a root word, ava, meaning to bend or distort. So iniquity is a distortion that bends us towards sin. It's an inclining towards sin. Iniquity is our main problem. It's the tendency to lean towards certain kinds of sin. And if you notice when people's lives, there's people struggle with different kinds of problems, and so frequently there's the problem or the sin, but there's something that is bending them that way. So some people may struggle with alcohol, but others, it's not even a thing. They don't even like it. So one has the bent to that. So they're into gambling. And so someone's got a bent towards gambling, but it's nothing towards alcohol. So it's like, why that? And why not the other? What energizes that thing that's happening in your life? And so it means an inclination or tendency towards certain types of sins. So iniquity is really the problem. It's not transgression and it's not sin. It's the desire and the bent to certain kinds of failure. So it's a twist towards it. In Hastings, in Dannyvik, when we were there, there was a huge wind used to come up through the Manawatu Gorge, and all the trees that you planted all got bent over by the wind. Yet if you didn't stake them up, they were all bent. They were crooked trees. And now you look at it and you say, why is the tree crooked? You must conclude something has bent it. What bent it? That thing that bent it is iniquity. It's the wind in this case, or the force of something spiritual has bent it in a certain direction. So when you look at some families, and we may talk about generational curses and iniquity, some families have got bent towards a certain type of sin. So there's something operating. It's something that's got a power that's affecting the family. So I want to know what it is. I need to understand it and how to deal with it. If Jesus was bruised for our iniquities, there's a legal issue around iniquity, and there must be a provision that Jesus has made. I need to know how to apply it to my life. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
So in the Hebrew word, it's avon, meaning it's perversion or to be crooked or to bend or distort. In the Greek word, it's the word anomia, meaning lawlessness, without any law or restraint, not yielding to law. So in practice, people who are lawless have a contempt for rule of law. It's not for me, for others. and sometimes there's another word in Greek that's translated iniquity, the word meaning injustice or violating God's laws. So iniquity then, and look in Old and New Testament, one is it's the bent towards doing things wrong. And in the New Testament, it's actually throwing off the restraint of law. So when things get lawless, it gets really wild. I remember being in India, my first visit to India, and almost the last couple of days, we woke up in the morning, there's a riot going on, and I could hear all the noise in the street. And I went up on the roof, and I could see that the city's on fire as far as you can see every direction, and there's people up and down the streets, and they're breaking into buildings and beating people up. But it was not just that, there's an atmosphere of lawlessness. And the feeling of wanting to join in. I thought, wow. I just want to go down and have a look, take some pictures. I couldn't believe it. I thought, what am I thinking? Where is that coming from? But it was the spirit of lawlessness. And some of you, or maybe not many of you, but some of you may remember being in a party, and there gets a certain time of the evening where the alcohol kicks in, and then lawlessness. There's something changes in the atmosphere, and it's not a healthy or safe place to be. And lawlessness can be felt when it's at work in a place and an atmosphere. So iniquity then to be bent, twisted a certain way, okay? So what is the impact of iniquity? I'm going to go through and tell you what the impact of it. And once you realize what the impact of it, you think, oh, wow, that is an important issue. That explains some things. So it may well be that something I'm struggling with, there is a hidden root of iniquity and I've never actually understood it. So I've been wrestling with my behavior, but never dealing with the root. And I'm not sorry all the time because of that, but I've never understood something as empowering it that I could actually deal with. Okay, so iniquity can be understood best, not just by the definition, by how the Bible describes it. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to just show you some Bible verses that describe iniquity. Okay. So the first thing is, would you believe it? Iniquity is a heart issue. Well, how about that? It's a heart issue. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not listen. So we'll get later on, but obviously one of the things is, the first thing to see is iniquity is something that sits in the heart that has to be addressed. It's a heart issue, not a behavior issue. Iniquity is in the heart, but manifests as sin and bad things. Job 31, verse 33, he says the same thing. If I've concealed my transgressions as Adam did by hiding my iniquity in my heart. So iniquity is a heart issue that people hide. How about that? So it's a heart issue. It's a condition of the heart. If it's a condition of the heart, it's a core issue to deal with. Like, for example, bitterness. People don't always feel bitter, but the Bible says bitterness is a heart issue. It's a root that goes down out of sight in your heart and defiles everyone in your environment. But you can't see it. You just see the bad behavior, but you don't see the root. And that's why when we're dealing with a heart, we deal with roots. Mostly people try to, religion will try and change your behavior or try and stop you manifesting fruit. But the Holy Ghost wants to deal with the root. And if there's a fruit, there's always a root. That's how I was able to deal with it. That's how the Lord showed me how to deal with it. I'll get to that shortly. Okay, so number one, iniquity is a heart issue. Number two, iniquity gradually transforms you. If you don't deal with iniquity, you change. You change and you don't get better. Let me show you this one here. In Ezekiel 28:14, Lucifer, the archangel, iniquity caused Lucifer to become Satan. In other words, an archangel changed and became the devil, and what caused it was iniquity. How about that? The archangel was in heaven, but when iniquity. Now notice this, in Ezekiel 28:14, 15, 16, 17, here it is. You were anointed cherub who covereth, I establish you, you're on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in all your ways. Now we're talking about a majestic, angelic being full of beauty, majesty, music. It says you were perfect in all your ways or what you did, until iniquity was found where? In you, heart issue. And by the abundance of your trading or responding to that iniquity, you become filled with violence and sin. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. I destroyed you, a covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. So iniquity causes our heart to be lifted with pride. Iniquity causes you to be lifted up with pride. What did Satan say? He said, I will ascend, I will go up into the holy mountain, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. That's what iniquity does. It changes how you think about yourself and where you stand in life. So iniquity then is the root. Notice he said, that Satan was lifted up in pride, wanting to take the place of God. So you notice what iniquity does? Iniquity causes you to think differently about yourself, and then you want to take over from God and replace God. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Now, of course, when you hear this first, you kind of put it right out there, but I want you to let it get close to you. Because every time you let iniquity get hold and you become lifted up, you will displace God and substitute your idols. Iniquity is what drives idolatry. So notice there that Satan exalted himself looking for a higher rank and sought to change his rank from an archangel to be equal or above God. That's what iniquity does. Iniquity lifts you up and causes all kinds of things to happen. So iniquity then is the root of narcissism. Narcissism is totally exaggerated opinion of yourself. You ever met someone who's full of themselves? Full of themselves. That's pride, and it's rooted in a deep iniquity in the heart. I'm throwing off the restraints of God, and I will exalt me, and I want to be big in front of all of you. So that's narcissism. Causes people to have an exaggerated opinion of themselves. They think they're better than everyone else. They exaggerate their importance and achievements. And it causes people to constantly compare and seek to put others down. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible destroyer of relationships. Ever met someone like that? It just, It's you're put down every time you're with them. It's dreadful. But iniquity can also show up exactly in inverse pride, where people hate themselves and think less of themselves than they should. So real humility, I accept what God says about me and the rank he's given me, and I honor those above me, and I also honor those below me. I don't use that rank to advance myself. So iniquity then is the root of pride that lifts people up and casts off all restraint. Here's the third one. Iniquity separates you from God. It affects your relationship with God. Psalm 66, 18, if I cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord wouldn't listen to me. So notice he's saying that if I loved my little lawlessness and my little pride and my little thing in my heart, then I've got a problem in my prayer life. God's not going to be listening because I'm cherishing iniquity in my heart. Notice again, iniquity is in the heart. And in Isaiah 59, 2, your iniquities have made a separation between you and God. Your sins have hidden his face. So iniquity, this is what it does. This is how it affects us. You want to use prayer to make God do what you want. See? And God won't answer any prayer motivated by iniquity. None. You just ignore it. And after a while, you either get frustrated and repent and change and find what he really does want, or you turn off God. And sometimes because people don't get an answered prayer, they stop praying. They don't realize they are trying to make God do what they want. They're trying to use God and use prayer to make God make their life good. That's iniquity. Who are we to tell God what we should be doing with our life? In a sense, iniquity, it's pride. And so in our view of God, he's like a Santa Claus that's going to do stuff for us. We're going to approach him and he's our fix-it man for everything. No, no, no. God is God. And we pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's a big different deal, isn't it? Not, Lord, I got a plan, now bless it. I have all these people do that kind of thing. And okay, go for it, see how it works out. Okay, here's another thing about iniquity. Iniquity is generational. Iniquity is generational. In Exodus 20, verse 2 through to verse 5, God visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. So iniquities come down through the father's line primarily, because the father is designated head of the family. What's on his life comes down through the children. So issues in the ancestors. If I get to teach this in the next session, we'll focus on that a bit more then. But it does tell us that iniquity is a spiritual pressure towards certain kind of sin. You can still choose not to yield to iniquity, but it's a strong pressure to do it. So patterns follow through the family, everyone doing the same stuff, divorces, all this kind of that kind of thing. So you notice then to the third and fourth generation. So if you were to track down three and four generations, you're looking at about 30 to 40 people. And so it comes down the family line affecting us. So we're responsible to deal with the iniquity of our fathers, but not their sins, because they're different. Iniquity is the power that drove them to sin. Their sin's their stuff, but the iniquity, I've got a problem with that because it's in my family line. So that was what I locked onto. I realized, wow, if I'm having these thought pressures coming into my mind and they're disturbing me and I can't put it down to anything I'm doing, this is iniquity. This is not something I have done. This is something I am experiencing as a pressure, relentless pressure in my thought life. So it must be in my family line. So I thought what I need to do is identify the nature of each or what each of these ones is that I'm experiencing, and that is what is in the family line. Whether I can get someone to admit to it or not doesn't really matter. If the fruit is there, the root is there. Yep. And if I deal with the root, the fruit will cease.
Very good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, very good.
That's how I got it. And with the moment I dealt with the root, it just stopped like that. I thought, those thoughts haven't had those for a long time. Where they all gone? And it was just a spirit pressure because of iniquity. And I had lived okay for a long time. And then just suddenly this thing is in a season because God's trying to lift me to another realm of ministry. I had to do a warfare to break through a layer of iniquity in my family background that I had never had to deal with before. In other words, my progress in the Lord meant a fresh challenge of things that were against me. Or put it another way, when I sought and God was moving me into another level of authority and ministry, the devil searched my family line and found what he could then use as a legal right to push on me to see if he could get me to sin and move away from what God had. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very good.
Once you see that, you realize then it may be nothing you've done. It's just actually you are part of a family line where people have iniquity and a bent to certain sin and have yielded to that sin. And now it's a part of your legacy that you need to bring an end to. Not just for your sake, the sake of the next generation. So we're not responsible for the sins our fathers did, the failures of our fathers. We're not responsible for them. Every father is responsible for his own sins and whatever the Bible says. But iniquity, oh, it won't go unless you do something. You are responsible because it's now your iniquity. That's the problem. It's your pressure. You've got to deal with it. You've got to do something about it. So here's another thing, number five. Iniquity causes love to grow cold. Iniquity causes love to grow cold. Iniquity is what destroys marriages. Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity causes you to focus on what you want. Remember? It's what was in Satan that caused him to elevate himself. So iniquity causes you to become self-centered and wanting what I want. We become selfish and demanding and wanting what we want and insensitive to our spouse. That's why it destroys marriages. So many marriages are destroyed. The people don't know why they failed, but there were roots of iniquity driving bad behavior that in the end caused the marriage, the love all grew cold. Nothing there, nothing left anymore. Here's another thing, iniquity empowers thoughts. Remember I mentioned that I was having these thoughts? It says in Isaiah 57:9-7, their feet will run to evil and be swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. So in other words, iniquity affects your thinking life. So maybe some of the struggles you're having in your thoughts may be because of resident iniquity. It's not just you that struggle with it. This has been a problem people have had and no one's ever solved it. Here's another thing of iniquity, number seven. Iniquity energizes sin and transgression. It is the power behind it. So when you see things going wrong and people doing bad stuff, there is something driving it. It says iniquity or a crookedness or a deep-rooted issue is driving it all. Pull that out and some of the other behavior will just drop off. So it says, Jeremiah 33:8, I will cleanse them of all their iniquity by which they have sinned. So iniquity results in sinful actions. The stuff we do is driven by iniquity or the crookedness, the self-centeredness on the inside. Get the idea? So Jeremiah describes then iniquity in the heart results in sin. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul calls iniquity as being at work. Or in other words, it's energizing all kinds of sin and lawlessness. This is what you're seeing in the Western culture now. You're seeing iniquity manifest more openly. And it opens by a rejection of the laws of God. To the stage now where if you stand for what the Bible teaches, it is considered hate speech and you are a hate person. You understand? That is what iniquity looks like, where it turns good into evil and evil into good. It's pride. It's got no law, no submission to God's standards. It rejects God's standards and exalts self. And if you've heard some of the things on the media of talking to these people, they're crazy and deluded. Yes. Absolutely deluded. Full of iniquity and demons. That's a biblical perspective on it. And they're trying to pressure people to come into agreement with the delusion. Yep. They're trying to pressure you to yield to iniquity. You understand? That's why you've got to recognize it. You can't just be nice and accepting and whatever. You've got to make a stand quite clearly. This is where I stand on this issue. I welcome people and include people, whatever it is going on in their life. But here's what the Bible says about gender. Here's where we stand on this. And of course, then all the iniquity will then manifest as hatred. But it is iniquity. It's a deep-rooted iniquity that says, I will be God. You see, if God, now when God made me, why would the clay say to the potter, how come you made me like this? That's what the Bible says. How come the clay can't tell the potter, why'd you make me like this? So when people are throwing off God, they will then want to change what God has designed. Hello? It's just iniquity in the heart. Anyway. So iniquity is behind, or it's the root behind pride. Iniquity is behind sexual sin, iniquity and pride and perversion. Iniquity is behind occult activity. It's behind adultery, sexual perversion, divorce, destruction of homes and families, the lack of discipline of children, iniquity, refusing the law, refusing God's standards and requirements. The home becomes lawless. This is what's going on. You see, the crime, corruption of the judicial system is rooted in lawlessness and iniquity. Racism is rooted in iniquity. Rejection of God's order and standard. Gender inequality is also rooted in iniquity and rejection of God's order and plan. You've got to get a biblical worldview on these things. Here's another thing. Iniquity steals our eternal reward and changes our destiny. You find that in Matthew chapter 7, 21 and 23 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. Now notice, to do the will of the Father is to reject iniquity. It's to align with God. Iniquity is doing your own thing. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? I will declare to them and say, I never really knew you. Depart from me, you who practice in lawlessness or iniquity. It's the word iniquity. Now, I won't go into all of it. I've done it before in one of the other seminars. But the bottom line here is what he's saying is that entrance into the coming kingdom, the coming millennial kingdom, the coming kingdom where Jesus rules upon the earth in power and glory, your entrance into a position of honor through the first resurrection depends on you overcoming lawlessness. Mm. Yep. You see, many, not just a few, many are going to say in that day referring to the day of the Lord, many will say in that day, well, we did prophesy and we operated in the gifts and we built a great ministry and we were important and wealthy and blah, 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 blah. And he says, yeah, but there was no deep intimacy with me. You actually used the gifts and anointing so you could build your own ego and enhance and build your own thing. He said, you are a worker of lawlessness. Okay, well, it got quiet. Suddenly got quiet then. Oops. Move on. So that's iniquity. And Jesus at the cross addressed iniquity. Isaiah 53, 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Three times in Isaiah it talks about iniquity. Three times. Next verse, verse 6, we like sheep, all like sheep have gone astray, turn everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Going your own way, doing your own thing is what iniquity looks like. So now you realize how widespread it is. Do your own thing. I did it my way. Yeah, iniquity. That's what it looks like. Instead of actually being in a relationship and working with the Holy Spirit and finding his way to do things and working in his way. You're getting really quiet, isn't it? So notice Jesus took responsibility for our iniquity. He actually owned it for us. That's the wonderful thing. At the cross, certain, he experienced many things with the cross. One of the things he did was there was a terrible bruising. A bruising is a wound that's not on the surface. It's underneath. It's where you bleed underneath out of sight, but it comes visible through the skin. And that's what iniquity is. It's something underneath out of sight, but it manifests and it has an effect that can be visible. So like that. He was bruised for our iniquity. So he paid a price to redeem us for iniquity. Iniquity must be important. It must be an issue if he gave his life to get it out of your life. So it must be important. So he was bruised for our iniquity. So now here's the last thing around that. We are responsible to deal with iniquity and remove it. And look at this. Look at this verse here. And Acts 3, verse 26. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. Blessing is connected to turning you away from your iniquities. So the blessing of God is connected to being turned from iniquity. When I turn from iniquity, I'm going to increase or come into blessing from God, because iniquity is hindering it. In 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, look at this one. The solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. How about that? So God knows who are his. We don't really know. Only God really knows those who belong to him, who are in covenant relationship, who have the Spirit of God. Only God knows. However, this is what it does say. But let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So notice now, we name the name of Christ, meaning we're born again, we call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ. Now depart from iniquity, depart from lawlessness, depart from pride, depart from exalting yourself, depart from doing things that violate the laws of God, depart from that lifestyle. Change. So puts the responsibility on us. So how can we deal with it? Let me just give you the simple things that I learned. I tried to work out what did I do that helped me overcome this pressure and drive in the Spirit. And this is what I found. Very simple. Number one, identify the specific sins. So what are the recurring patterns that seem to keep happening in your life? Or what are the recurring defiling thoughts? Or what are the unwelcome, tormenting pictures and images? If the thoughts keep occurring, there's something wrong inside that needs to be addressed. It may well be iniquity. It could be within your family, could be generational. So if you're affected by it, but you've never done those things, then it's an iniquity in your family and you need to put a name on it. This is the sin. Okay, secondly, you come to the throne of grace. The Bible tells us to come to the throne of grace. And come boldly, Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain, not just pray for it, obtain mercy and grace to help us, empowerment. So we're to come boldly. Father, I come boldly to the throne of grace by the blood Jesus shed for me. I bring to you this issue I have been wrestling with. See, boldly. Don't come hangdog. Guilty, condemned, come boldly because an answer is there. The throne of grace is the throne of the center of God ruling the creation. We are invited into that throne room to bring before him our concern. Make a declaration of your faith in Christ. Father, I declare Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus from all iniquity. Now you see, I'm declaring the work of God. Then, now, if it's a generational thing, which in my case, it was generational. So then declare your coming as a family representative, like this. Father, I come before you as a representative of my family to bring an issue to you. Eh? We confess the generational iniquity and sin. We acknowledge, in Jeremiah 14:20, we acknowledge our wickedness and the wickedness of our father. I and my family have committed iniquity. So just come, Father, I declare our family has been rooted in this iniquity. Iniquity in our family has been this. And Lord, I have yielded to it and given into it. Now today, I stand as a member of my family and I bring this generational iniquity to the cross to end it. See, I'm quite intentional and specific. You intentionally bring it to the cross. Because in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, iniquity, He will forgive, remove the legal debt, remove it, and cleanse us from the power of iniquity. So this is what I do. Lord, I bring this sin and I bring this iniquity to the cross, and I ask that the blood of Jesus Christ forgive and cleanse right now. And now the last couple of things I do is this. Father, I ask you to cancel every judgment and every way the devil has used iniquity to come against me. Well, that's an interesting one. I ask him to cancel and remove all generational iniquity and curses. I want it canceled because that's what the devil has been using against me. He's come and he's looked into the family line and said, there's this iniquity. I have the right to torment him and I will torment him. The only thing that'll stop it is doing this process of bringing the iniquity to the cross and the blood and asking the Father to cancel that assignment and judgment. I found it worked immediately. Lord, I hold the cross of Christ between me and my family line and cancel every curse and cancel all the iniquity. I declare it broken now. Every spirit that's entered me because of that iniquity, I command it to go now. I'll just go through those steps again. Identify the specific behaviors or sins and the fact that there's iniquity behind it. Put a name on it. Always be specific if you possibly can. The things that are recurring failures, the things that are recurring thoughts or defiling pictures or whatever. Come boldly to the Lord. Make a declaration of who you are. You're coming into a courtroom. You're coming before the judge of all the earth. So you come and you come as a child of the living God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You understand, this is, it's like a legal thing. I'm trying to stop something legally that's against me. And to stop it legally, now I declare my faith in Christ and the blood. And now I come as a representative of my family to bring an end to the iniquity that has offended you for I don't know how many generations. Lord, you alone know. But I bring the iniquity, I bring the specific sin. Lord, our family have been involved in it. And Lord, I have participated in this. I bring it to the cross and ask forgiveness and cleansing. I don't want just to be forgiven. Forgiveness is the legal, but cleansing is the bit where it's removed. Now, Lord, I ask that you would cancel, render a judgment, cancel every accusation, judgment, everything the devil is using against me. Lord, I ask you would cancel it now. I hold the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ between me and that generational line and bring all of that iniquity to an end today in Jesus' name. How about that? So iniquity. There it is. How many of you can identify some of the struggles? Put a name on it, first of all. Try to name it. What that thing is that is in your family line that keeps bothering you, that keeps being against you, that iniquity, that crookedness that's in the family. Sometimes the crookedness is the hatred of God. Sometimes it's prejudice. Sometimes it's racism. It can be all kinds of things. Just put a name on it. Sometimes it's sexual perversion. I mean, really bad stuff. Sometimes it can be pedophilia. Sometimes it can be incest. It can be all these dreadful things. And you've got no idea that someone introduced them in the family line. But you know, I'm being badgered by these thoughts I don't want. Does that make sense? So we just found a strategy. Because Jesus was bruised for our iniquities, if I will identify the iniquity and bring it to the cross, I can ask God to cancel all rights to afflict me and ask Him to forgive and cleanse me from it. And there's a silence then in the spirit, just like it stops. The devil, remember, is the accuser of the brethren. That's why he fills your mind with thoughts and emotions so you feel condemned and not good enough and unable to walk in freedom. But there is a remedy for all of that, and the fruit of it is boldness in the Holy Ghost. This is what the Bible says. Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God anointed him with the oil of joy above everyone else. So the anointing on him, we all want the anointing. What about hating iniquity in your own life? Pride and independence and no one can tell me what to do. That's what it looks like. It's what it sounds like. No one can teach you. You're unteachable. You're law to yourself. And then there's this turning towards certain things. Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Show us, Lord. We pray David's prayer. Search me, O God, and try my heart, and see if there be any wicked way, any iniquity in me, any personal iniquity, a tendency to think of myself too highly and constantly put others down, a tendency to think of myself too lowly and constantly put myself down, a tendency to do what I want, a tendency to ignore your ways, to actually take over my life as though I knew what to do better than you would. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I bring iniquity to the light so it can be forgiven and healed. Holy Spirit, just speak to us quietly right now of where there's iniquity that's not only in my life, it's in my family life. It's a generational issue. Lord, I want to bring it to an end. Amen.